Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 140.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, who drinks a bulletproof coffee every morning, Pat Flynn.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me today and taking a little bit of time out of your holiday season to spend time with me. I really appreciate that. Of course, we're coming up to the close of the year here. I hope you're enjoying the holiday season. And, you know, there's a lot of goal setting that's going to be going on. I actually have a really great podcast episode for you next week talking about the biggest lessons I learned from 2014 and how we're going to crush 2015. But before we get to that, we have this episode, which I'm really excited about because on it, I have a featured guest who really is, I mean, literally changing my life right now with some of the things he's been teaching. He is a keynote speaker, a best-selling author, and just an all-around inspiring guy. And I couldn't think of anybody better to bring on to talk about some things we can do to better prepare for ourselves and our minds for next year. This is Hal Elrod, who you might have heard recently because I featured him in his best-selling book, The Miracle Morning, in my recent post about the five books that I read in 2014 that I reread. So I published this post. It kind of went viral, which is pretty cool. There was in 12 hours, there were 683 comments. And then in 24 hours, there were over 1,100, which was crazy and insane. And one of those books that I reread this year was called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And it's about a morning routine. And this is totally crazy, especially for those of you out there who know me and know how I work and know what my schedule is like. I'm a complete night owl. I do all my creative work, all my productivity stuff around work at night after the kids are in bed because my why is my kids and I want to spend all day with them as much as I can. And I live a lifestyle that allows me to do that. So I'm not going to work during the day when I want to spend all my time with my kids anyway. I work late at night and I'm just more creative. I'm more active. My brain's functioning better at night, I feel. So I work with my body and I work at night. However, I've been hearing time and time again, especially this year and all the podcast episodes I've been listening to, interviews with incredibly amazing people, people keep talking about their morning routine and how much that has changed their lives ever since implementing the morning routine. Tim Ferriss asks every single guest that comes on a show, what is your morning routine? And I was like, what is this big deal behind the morning routine? I'm not a morning person. I would never even think of doing this. Well, I was introduced to Hal Elrod by Michael Port from Book Yourself Solid. So Michael introduced me to Hal, And just, I just had to have Hal on my show after hearing about all the amazing things he's been doing. And that sort of aligned itself with what I was hearing in all these podcast episodes about this sort of morning ritual. And, you know, this whole episode isn't just about the morning ritual. It's about Hal's story and all the things that he's done that has, you know, he's really overcome some amazing things. I mean, he was hit head on by a drunk driver at 70 miles per hour and was pronounced dead for 6 minutes. He broke 11 bones, was told he would never walk again. And not only did he walk, he bounced back to become an ultra marathon runner. That's 52 miles in one run, and a multiple time number one bestselling author. And it's just, man, you, this is going to be so incredible, very inspiring, I feel, and a lot of actionable content. You know, reading his book, Miracle Morning, twice, I can already feel the effects of waking up a little bit earlier, doing some things in the morning like meditation, affirmations, and even down to things like just having a sip of water immediately after you wake up. I mean, all these little things add up and really change how you approach the day so you can set yourself up in all the hours ahead after you wake up for success. So I'm going to stop talking and we're going to get right into the interview with Hal Elrod, again, the author of The Miracle Morning, and you can find him at halelrod.com. So here he is. What's up, everybody? Thank you. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Once again, Pat Flynn here, and I'm so excited to have our guest on, somebody who Michael Port, who is in episode 130, highly recommended. And after reading his stuff, I couldn't be more inspired and more excited to have him on the show. So Hal, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast today.
Pat, I'm a big fan, man. This is, it's an honor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, I was reading about you and reading about your story, and oh my gosh, just the most incredible journey you've had. Can you just give us the rundown of everything that has happened and just share kind of the journey that you've been through?
Yeah. I'll try to do that without taking 3 hours with you, but yeah, I'll do the short version here. So a couple of key components. I'll start when I was 15 years old. My dream was to be a radio disc jockey, but I thought that at 15, I was years off from that even being a possibility. Well, one thing led to another. I got my gig on the radio, local radio station at age 15, where I hosted a weekly radio show for 3 hours every Thursday, playing hip hop music.
Nice.
And my mom gave me the nickname Yo Pal Hal, which my response when she suggested it was, she goes, make it cool, be Your Pal Hal, or use slang, be Yo Pal Hal. I said, Mom, you're such a dork. I will never be Yo Pal Hal. And you can visit my website at yopalhal.com. So Mom is always right, right? But and then fast forward 4 years, I was DJing on the radio, gave up my dream job to start selling Cutco knives. And it was really a friend of mine who, he was making good money at it, but I'm like, dude, I'm a DJ. I'm not a salesperson. You know, I don't know. And he just kind of kept bugging me and encouraging me and being like, just try it. You'd be great at it. I started selling Cutco with really no expectation other than making a few bucks that summer. And 10 days into the career, into my job, if you'd call it, I had sold more Cutco than almost anyone that had ever sold Cutco before me in their first 10 days. It's called the Fast Start. And I had sold $15,000 in knives and broken this 50-year-old or 49-year-old company record. And that was really a turning point for me because my whole life I was very mediocre. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't one of those kids who was like excelled at everything. I got, you know, poor grades. I was a class clown. I was always in detention. I wasn't an athlete. Like nothing in my life said you're destined for, you know, greatness. And something inside me clicked. And you know, Tony Robbins says it. It's in our moments of decision that our destiny is shaped. And something inside me clicked on day two of my sales training. I went, you know what? Why don't I go for it? What the heck? Why don't I go for it? If another human being could sell this amount, why not me? And I think it's such an important belief for us to all start to adopt into our life as we see people that are highly successful. You know, people, I'm sure, look at you, Pat, and go, man, I could never look at what he accomplished and look at the numbers and look at all that. I mean, he's so much further ahead than me. He's so much better looking than me. He's so much funnier than me. You know, whatever it is, we create this separation between us and people that we admire or even envy. And I think it's so important to use other people's success as evidence of what's possible for us. And so I did that and I broke the record. And then really where my story kind of, you know, took a dramatic turn, a year and a half into my selling career with Cutco, I gave a speech one night at a conference, which I did at almost every event that we had. And after the speech, I got a standing ovation. That was the kind of the cool, like that was the first time I ever had a standing ovation. So I was pretty excited. Got into my brand new Ford Mustang. It was literally 3 weeks old. It was right off the lot, new car smell, bright white, 5-speed Ford Mustang. got on the freeway doing 70 miles an hour, cruise control set, feeling good, feeling grateful. Really at the top of my life, I was at the top of the world. You know, I mean, just career was great, life was great. I just got a standing ovation, you know. And about 2 minutes up the road, 2 miles up the road, a man that I had never met before left the bar after drinking two beers, got in his full-size Chevy truck, got on the freeway, got up to 80 miles an hour. Problem was, he had gotten on the freeway going the wrong direction. So he was traveling 80 miles an hour coming straight at me. And I don't remember seeing the headlights coming at me. I don't know. I have brain damage from that the experience. But everything I'm going to share from this point forward, just for the next 30 seconds or so, I only know from police reports and eyewitnesses and hospital records. But around 11:36 p.m., this full-size Chevy truck barreling down the highway head-on at my Ford Mustang, also traveling 70 miles an hour, collided head-on in 150-mile-an-hour head-on impact. And, you know, the front of my car was just crushed, destroyed, the engine smashed, the windshield shattered, airbag exploded in my face, and the worst was yet to come as my car spun sideways out of control. And the car behind me, that was only behind me about two car lengths, smashed at 70 miles an hour into my driver's side door. And instantly, if you could imagine, if everybody listening, just look to your left right now and imagine there's a car coming at you at 70 miles an hour and it crashes into you. And the entire left side of my body was destroyed. I broke 11 bones. My femur broke in half. My humerus, my arm broke in half. My elbow was shattered. My pelvis shattered in three different places. It was crushed between the center console and the car door as it was smashed into me. Almost completely lost my ear. My eye socket was destroyed. All had to be rebuilt in metal. And the top of my ceiling was sliced open, or the top of my head was sliced open by the roof that caved in. And I immediately, thank God, I was in a coma. And I began bleeding and, you know, from head to toe. And I actually bled to death. I was dead for 6 minutes on the side of the freeway when the paramedics and the fire department finally pulled me out, and in a coma for 6 days. They revived me. I was in a coma and they told me that I would never walk again and that I have permanent brain damage. And that was, you know, I woke up 6 days later out of the coma to face this reality that, like, you know, being told you're never going to walk again, you have permanent brain damage, your whole body is disfigured for the rest of your life. You know, you may never drive again. I mean, on and on and on. It was a very difficult reality to accept.
Man, I mean, I can't even imagine what were your feelings when you woke up? I mean, you were pronounced dead for like 6 minutes, you said?
6 minutes.
And then you go into a coma, you wake up 6 days later and you get all this information. How are you feeling at that time?
So what's interesting, so I don't remember. I don't remember coming out of the coma. My brain was so damaged, and my brain damage was so significant, Pat, that you could have, you know, especially in those first few weeks, you could have come and visited me for like, you know, 3 hours. We could have talked and reminisced and whatever. And then if you would have gone to lunch and come back, I would have not known you'd been there for 3 hours. Wow. And so I do know, from hearing from my mom and my dad and my sister and other family members and close friends that were by my bedside day in and day out, how I responded. They said when I came out of the coma, I was very lethargic. I was kind of confused. My eyes were half open. And what would happen because of the brain damage, my poor parents, you know, and I have kids now, so I get it at a much deeper level than before I had kids, mm-hmm. what my parents went through, which I think is much worse than what I went through. And I would come out of the coma and my parents had to, you know, I can't even imagine living this like nightmare of having to tell your child what they've been through. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I would fall asleep and wake up and I would have forgotten that they had told me. And this lasted for days, where my parents dozens of times would have to relive this, you know, experience of telling their son what had happened. And I always kind of joke. I go, I think they went from it being difficult to it being annoying. Like, all right, Hal, you were in an accident. Here, just read this. We wrote it down for you. Just read this, right? But here's what happened. Within a matter of once I got it from my short-term memory to I started to actually remember what happened to me when I'd wake up, because I was sleeping a lot because I was in so much pain and my body was recovering. I was tired. And my parents said that as soon as I was had a grasp of where I was and how I got there, I just started laughing and joking, and I started trying to sell Cutco to the doctors and nurses. That was like my MO. That was like my main thing. And my parents were like, Hal, you know, stop it. It's inappropriate. And I'm like, Mom, do you know how much money doctors make? They're like the best prospects that I can have. I'm not going to waste this opportunity, right? And it actually got to the point where the doctors called my parents in about a week after I came out of the coma, and they said, we're very concerned with Hal. We believe he's in denial. Because every time we're around him, he's always laughing and joking and smiling and making us laugh. And they said, that's not normal. You know, not for a 20-year-old young man that's being told he may never walk again. And we believe that his reality is so difficult for him to accept that he's checked out of it. He's delusional. You've got to get him to admit how he's really feeling and talk about it. And because if he doesn't go through the, you know, I'm sure deep down he's sad. He's depressed. He's scared. He's angry. All of those emotions are normal, but he needs to feel them in here so we can help him cope and get through it. And the psychologist, the therapist, they can work with him. If it happens out in the real world, eventually it's going to come crashing down and it could turn into a meltdown, drugs, alcohol, suicide, whatever. So my dad comes in that night, and I didn't know this conversation had happened with the doctors, and he explains kind of why they're concerned and says, Hal, how are you really feeling when your friends aren't here to laugh and joke? When you're by yourself at night going to bed, are you sad? Are you depressed? Are you scared? Are you angry? It's very normal to feel those things, but it's okay. We should talk about it. And my dad, I could tell his face was red. His eyes were, he welled up. I mean, he'd been crying, and I could tell he was really concerned. And so I really put a lot of thought into, am I sad, depressed, angry, scared? And I looked at my dad. I said, and I just smiled. I said, Dad, I thought you knew me better than that. And he got kind of a puzzled look on his face. I said, Dad, I'm alive and I live my life by the 5-minute rule. It's something I learned in my Cutco training. It's okay to be negative, but not for more than 5 minutes. I said, it's been 2 weeks. It's my 5 minutes are up. I said, and the 5-minute rule says you moan, complain, vent, whatever you got to do, you know, for 5 minutes, let those emotions out, feel them completely. But then after 5 minutes, my mentor taught me that there's no value in continuing to put energy into wishing something didn't happen, being angry about it, resisting it. Like every negative emotion that we ever feel is self-created by our level of resistance to whatever is out of our control, whatever's already happened or whatever is inevitably going to happen. Mm-hmm. And once we learn to accept the things that we can't change, we're at peace. And so that was it. And I don't have a graph to show you this, Pat, but the last thing I'll share on this is a week after the conversation with my dad, when I told him, Dad, if I never walk again, I'll be the happiest person you've ever seen in a wheelchair, because if I can't change it, I won't ever let it determine my, you know, how I feel. And a week later, the doctors came in with routine x-rays. They said, we don't know how to explain this, but your body is healing at an incredible or miraculous, I don't know what word they use, rate, and we're going to let you walk tomorrow. So it went from never walk again to 3 weeks after the accident, I took my first step, and against doctors, well, I got out of the hospital 4 weeks later, and against doctor's orders, I went back to being one of the top Cutco reps, having to catch ride. I didn't have a driver's license because of the brain damage. I mean, I had to catch rides from neighbors or other Cutco reps or whatever, but I found a way and got back on top.
That's incredible. I mean, you're getting these expert views, people who went to school for this stuff telling you, and telling your parents and telling everybody that you're never going to walk again, yet here you are walking. So who is it truly that determines our outcomes? Ourselves.
Yeah, no, and I told my my mom and dad, I said, look, the doctors might be experts in medicine or whatever they do in there all day, but they're not experts in me. And I think that's such an important lesson. If there's anything worth writing down out of this for everybody, number one, I think is that, you know, you got to really understand that lesson that when you learn to accept all things you can't change. And by the way, my three words for that are can't change it. When I hit traffic, doesn't matter. You don't have to be in a horrific car accident, but when I hit traffic, I used to be frustrated in the car for 30 minutes sitting in traffic. And then I go, wait a minute, I can't change it. What's the point in being frustrated over it or wishing I could? I can't change it. And if we can't change it, the only choice we have is to accept it. And I see people that suffer. I mean, there are people that, you know, you suffer over things that happened, whether it was 5 minutes ago, 5 days ago, 5 years ago, or even in their childhood. And they're still blaming their circumstances or blaming the way they feel based on something that happened to them, you know, years ago. Once it's out of your control and you can't change it, the only intelligent choice we have to be really happy and fulfilled is acceptance. And it's learning to accept all the things we can't change. And I'll tell you, Pat, real quick, this is really powerful. I got an email from a girl a few years ago. I spoke at a college up in Canada. And she emailed me about a week after and said, Hal, I saw you speak last week. And you don't know this, but my dad died 10 years ago. and at age 37, I believe it was. And she said, I've spent the last 10 years depressed. I've attempted suicide twice. I've been on antidepressant medication for the last 10 years. And she said, ever since I saw you speak, you made me realize that it wasn't my dad's death that was causing me to be depressed. It was the fact that I wasn't willing to accept that he was dead. And the last week she goes, I got one of your little can't change it wristbands. And the last week I've just looked at that and I've been so at peace for the first time in 10 years. And she said, yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of his death date. And she said, please see the attached picture. It's a picture of my wrist where I got the words can't change it permanently tattooed as a symbol that I'll never feel depressed over my dad's death again. I'll just look at it. I'm at peace with it. And I'm grateful for who I am as a result of being his daughter. And, you know, I was in tears. It was just so whether it's traffic or losing the most important person in your life, those three words, can't change it, are arguably the, you know, some of the most freeing and empowering words that we can say.
Oh man, can't change it. It's so interesting how our memory in the past is such a crutch sometimes. We hang on to those things and they stop us. They bring on this resistance when we try something new. And it's hard to remember that, you know, it's happened. You know, bygones be bygones, as cliche as that is. You got to keep moving forward. And this reminds me of when I got laid off. And this isn't nearly as tragic as what happened and is happening to a lot of people. But, you know, I lost my job and it was all I knew.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until a few days later and getting a lot of support from a lot of people that I finally realized, okay, well, there's nothing I can do. I even tried to get back into the industry, calling friends, just begging for even just like, you know, any sort of position that was available, and there was nothing. And thank God there was nothing available, because that's what was like, okay, well, I can't go back, so I can only go forward. And so thank you for that message. I think that is perfect as we end the year here, because, you know, as we get into 2015, we're getting into a new set of goals, a new set of actions we're going to take to improve our lives. And we have to let go of a lot of those things in order to continue to move forward. And that's kind of where I want to take this conversation now is, you know, you are a coach, you're a speaker, you talk a lot about goal setting, and we're getting to a point now where, you know, we see what we did in 2014 and we may or may not be happy with it. How can we help make this next year a really, really, you know, stellar year for us?
Yeah, I'm not. And I mean, it's a perfect topic because my first ever live event coming up in December, Best Year Ever Blueprint. I mean, that's what all my time right now is figured out, how to help an audience really go into the new year prepared to make it their best year ever. And for me, I've been really fortunate that I've, you know, whether it was mentors or my own initiative, I've had some years where, you know, I was able to almost triple my income from one year to the next. You know, a year where I went from having a goal of writing a book for 3 years and had failed. And then all of a sudden I was able to write the book, you know, I mean, just where I was able to really make these breakthroughs. And here's, I think, one of the most important lessons. And again, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but the most people, when they start to end a year, they start to take their foot off the gas and they start to get a little bit lazy. They start to feel like, well, I've got the new, you know, I got a fresh beginning starting in January. And what ends up happening is they go into, especially into the holidays, and they create an arsenal of what I call holiday habits, which are bad habits, right? Overeating, yeah. Oversleeping, mm-hmm. Just overall laziness and mediocrity. And most people go into the new year with great intentions and an arsenal of bad habits. And we know our results are largely created by our habits. And so the lesson, the premise of Best Year Ever Blueprint, the lesson is your best year ever does not start January 1st. It starts today. It starts, you know, at the very latest, it starts December 1st, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're hearing this on December 15th, I mean, what, you know, it starts today, whenever that is. And it's the idea that people need to understand that you need to finish this year the way that you need to live next year. So you need to go in, you need to have, think of it this way, December needs to be the best month of your life if you want 2015 to be the best year of your life. Whatever you want to accomplish in 2015, don't make the mistake that 99% of people make, which is go, well, I have until January 1st to start, right? And then you wake up late on January 1st because you were up partying for New Year's or whatever, right? And so the reality is that how, you know, who we're becoming is determining everything. And so it's about really going into December and going, how can I make this the best month of my life? And if you're, you know, if you're listening to this right now and it's Christmas Eve or whatever, you go, how can I make this the best week of my life? How can I how can I treat, you know, between now and the end of the year, the way that I need to treat all of 2015 so that I can become the person that I need to be to create the best year of my life before it even starts. And it's kind of like training for a marathon, right? If you were, you know, you train for a marathon, 2015 is the marathon. Mm-hmm. You train for the marathon leading up to it, right? And again, if you were training for a marathon, you wouldn't do what you would normally do during Christmas and New Year's. You're like, yeah, I got a marathon starting in a couple of weeks, so I'm gonna eat so much.
No, and I can tell you need months to prepare. And yeah. I ran my PR, my personal record, in June of this year, half marathon nice. Through San Diego, 1 hour and 58 minutes.
Wow.
So I broke 2 hours. I have another marathon that I had actually just finished yesterday, to be honest, through Disneyland. It was the Avengers race. I didn't prepare quite as much. I prepared maybe with 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
Not good. And so today and probably for the next few days, I won't hardly be able to walk. I'm crawling up the stairs. It's just not good. And so the marathon example is right on, spot on. And so, you know, I really agree with that, because a lot of people wait, okay, January 1st, now's the day I'm going to start. And then, you know, the thing is, you can't just automatically switch those good habits on.
Yeah.
You need to kind of get, you know, prime yourself for it. And so I really, really appreciate that advice. Now, you've coached thousands of people. You're known as one of the top success coaches in the world. What are some common mistakes that, you know, a lot of people are making? You know, a few specific things that we could do to make sure that next year is great for us.
Well, first and foremost, you know, and of course, this is where I would go with this, but it's having that morning success ritual. And, you know, my book, the what I'm most known for is, you know, it's The Miracle Morning. And I'll actually, instead of hearing it, you guys hearing it from me, I'll quote one of my mentors and someone I look up to a lot. And I'm sure you're familiar with Eben Pagan, right, Pat?
Yep.
And I was listening to an interview with Eben Pagan and Tony Robbins, where Tony was interviewing Eben. In fact, it's in my car on a CD. I've listened to it, I don't know, dozens and dozens of times. But at the very end of the interview, after a 90-minute, you know, like, I mean, and Eben is a genius when it comes to personal development, business, productivity. So, I mean, he gives so much wisdom and value. And at the end of it, Tony said, Eben, it's like drinking from a fire hose. You've given us so much. If you had to take everything you've taught us and pick the one thing, or maybe you didn't even mention it yet, but what's the one thing that our listeners can do to take their business and take their life to the next level? And he didn't hesitate. He said, create a morning success ritual. He said, it's the most important thing you can do to set your mindset and the context for the rest of your day. And having a morning success ritual, he said, it's the linchpin, right? It's the linchpin that determines the quality of your day, which determines the quality of your life in every way. And so for me, when I was at my rock bottom, and, you know, it's interesting, you know, Pat, you kind of dismissed it when you said how when you lost your job, it doesn't compare to the accident, yada, yada, yada. However, I always say in my life, I've had two rock bottoms. The car accident was the first one, and the second one was a lot worse. People always look at me and go, what do you mean worse? You died. Like, well, how do you get worse than dying? Well, it was in 2007 and 2008 when the U.S. economy crashed, just like you. Mm-hmm. I wasn't employed where I lost a job, but I was an entrepreneur. I was a success coach that lost over half my clients. Then I lost my house. I stopped exercising, canceled my gym membership, lived on credit cards. I had $52,000 up on my credit cards over a six-month period, and I got deeply depressed for the first time in my life. And creating a morning – basically my – theory was, if I create the most extraordinary morning ritual known to man and do it every single day, theoretically, that should turn me into the person that I need to be physically, mentally, intellectually, and emotionally, into the person that I need to be to create the levels of success that I want. And I didn't call it the Miracle Morning. I didn't have a name for it. But within 2 months of doing my morning routine, even though I wasn't a morning person, that's the important part. I was not a morning person. I was a night owl. But I thought, I got to change if I want my life to change. I got up early, did it for 2 months. In 2 months, less than 2 months, actually, my income more than doubled. I went from being in the worst shape of my life to having never run a day in my life other than when it was required in high school PE class. I went from being in the worst shape of my life, having not exercised in 6 months, to committing to, training for, and completing a 52-mile ultra marathon. Wow. And my depression, it didn't even take 2 months to go away. It was literally gone the first day that I did the Miracle Morning, because I felt incredible. My depression, it was gone. I was like, wow, if I can feel this way every day by 6 or 7 a.m., this is the thing, the one thing that could change everything. And it was after the results of 2 months where my income had doubled and my life was transformed. I go, this is my miracle morning. That's what I'm going to start calling it. Never was it going to be a book, but I started teaching it to my coaching clients. They got very similar results. They're losing weight. They're increasing their income. Things that sound like they're promises on an infomercial that were really happening. And then I just felt a sense of responsibility that I've got to share this with the world. And now it's one of the highest rated books on Amazon. We just got our 515th review this morning.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah. Number one bestselling book. And the funny thing is I'm a night owl. My audience knows this. My audience knows I work between 9 and 1 a.m. because that's after the kids are down. My why and for what I do is for my kids. So I want to be there with my kids physically and mentally all day. And I don't even think about work until the nighttime, unless it's like right now they're napping. So you and I can talk and do this interview. So there's a lot of timing involved as well. But, you know, I never really thought about the morning as the way to prime yourself for the rest of the day, you know, and to set yourself up for success throughout the day, because my work is done at night, but that doesn't mean my mornings should be ignored either. Yeah. And on Tim Ferriss's podcast, he had Tony Robbins on and he talks about his morning ritual, and every guest that Tim has on, he asks, well, what's your morning routine? Mm. And it's really interesting that he always says that because it's obviously an important thing to him. And so to hear it coming from you is just, more confirmation that I need to start thinking about my mornings. Now, I don't, does that mean I should wake up earlier, or does that mean I do a specific thing when I wake up, or like give us some more insight and specifics on what does this morning look like in terms of those questions? And then what does yours look like?
So great question. First question as far as should you wake up earlier? So here's an interesting kind of distinction around the miracle morning. Most people wake up in the morning because they have to, right? Most people, meaning they look at their schedule and they go, okay, I have to be at work at, 8 a.m. and it takes me 30 minutes to get there, right? And it takes me 30 minutes to get ready. So I'm going to set my alarm for 7 a.m. so I can have 30 minutes to get ready and 30 minutes to get there. Or even better, they go, no, I want to snooze 3 times. Yep. So I'll back my alarm up to 6:30, right? Me. And yeah, and so if you think about that, starting the day, like this is the way that I look at it. When the alarm clock goes off in the morning, or if you don't use an alarm clock, whatever it is, waking up in the morning, but let's say the alarm clock, that's life's first gift to us. It's life's first opportunity. And to start the day with procrastination, which is what hitting the snooze button is, right? Mm-hmm. To start the day with resistance, which is like, no, like we're literally telling the universe, like, I know I say I want to create an extraordinary life and become the best version of myself, but not as bad as I want to lay here unconscious for 10 more minutes. Right.
And you're making me feel bad for hitting the snooze button now.
Yeah. And Pat, see, you're the hardest type of person to get this across to, right? Because you're living an extraordinarily successful life in every way. What your number one priority is family. You've got time with the family. You're, supporting the family is obviously a huge component of your role as a father and as a provider, right? You're doing that at an extraordinarily high level, right?
Right.
So I was asked recently, this speaks to that, to you. I was asked recently in an interview, they said, Hal, I read your book. They said, you created the miracle morning to get yourself out of a rock bottom. You were broke. You were depressed. You were spiraling downward physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. You're not there anymore. You're successful. Why do you still do the miracle morning? And I was like, huh, that's an interesting question. I never really thought of it that way. And here's what I realized. The one thing that we all share in common, right, is the next level. We all share the next level. No matter how successful we get, on my dying day, I'll be like, man, I was still trying to get to the next level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's what the miracle morning is for me. And for anyone, is it's arguably the single most effective process, routine, strategy, ritual, whatever you want to call it, to take yourself to the next level every single morning so that you go into your day a better version of who you were when the alarm clock went off that morning. So you go into every single day a better version of who you were when the alarm clock went off that morning. And I can't think of a single person that doesn't need that if they really want to live to their full potential.
Yeah.
And it's not that you can't, you don't have to. I mean, you could, of course, you could go through life without it. But it's one of those things where you don't know what you're missing out on until you do it. And I always tell people, go read the reviews on Amazon. And you just hear people go, I was not a morning person. I was a night owl, Pat. You'll see these all over the – I'd say the majority, probably 70% of people that do Miracle Morning every day and swear by it, started out going and totally resistant to the idea.
Yeah, I mean, I read a lot of the reviews and I'm like, yep, that's me.
Exactly. So, you know, it's one of those things you don't even know what you're missing until you do it. In fact, I would love if you want to ask another question, you can, but I'm going to look up this text message. One of my, a brand new coaching client, he literally hired me a few weeks ago. In fact, I just found it. Can I read this to you guys real quick?
Yeah, please.
So he hired me to be his coach. He's very successful, one of the top salespeople for his company. But he wakes up at 11 a.m. every day. And I basically had to have the same conversation of like what he's missing out on. And it's, for him, he's like, Hal, I'm like number one in my company. Why do I need to wake up early, right? Here's what he said. You're the man, Hal. I can't believe it's only been 10 days since we spoke and you shared the Miracle Morning and I started doing it every day and following my foundational schedule. My feeling of fulfillment is higher than ever. I had my best week of the year so far, triple my production from the previous 5 weeks. Waking up is fun and exciting now. I'm getting more done in shorter periods of time. My habits and mindset has drastically improved, and I'm more excited than ever to see how much more we can accomplish together this year. Just want to say thanks, Hal. You're the man. So that was from yesterday. He sent me that yesterday. And this is someone who is very successful and was very resistant to the idea of waking up early.
I love the part where he said, waking up is fun and exciting. And yeah. I know for me, at least, I wake up and I know it's fun and exciting because my kids are waiting for me. But I know for a lot of people, you know, if I were to ask you, when was the last time you woke up fun and excited? Most people would probably say that never happens.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah. So to speak to that, here's what happened when I created the Miracle Morning, right? Buddy gave me advice. He's like, go listen to this self-help audio. It could help you turn it around. Cause I called him and I was like, I'm depressed. I'm a mess, dude. I'm not telling anybody cause I'm a success coach and I'm embarrassed, you know, like as a success coach who's failing miserably, it just kind of messes with my identity. And so I told my best friend, you know, and it was literally like 6 months where I didn't tell him or anyone. And I told him one thing led to another. And I heard a Jim Rohn quote where Jim Rohn said, your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development. And that's where I realized I've got to create a personal development routine. And then I did about an hour of research. I thought, let me make it the most extraordinary personal development routine known to man by combining the best of the best in proven, powerful personal development practices. And then my challenge was, well, when am I going to do it? And I thought, you know what? I've got to start in the morning. All these successful people, they have a morning ritual. They wake up early. I'm going to give it a shot. Here's the thing, Pat. Now, keep in mind, at that time in my life, I was depressed. I was a mess. Everything was rock bottom. But that night going to bed, the best comparison I can give, I felt like a kid on Christmas morning where I was like, I was excited to go to sleep, not because I was waking up to these problems that I had, because I was waking up to this morning ritual. And then once I actually did it, I felt like a kid on Christmas. And I realized this, was it hard to wake up when you were growing up? Did you celebrate Christmas growing up, by the way?
Yes.
And if anybody listening, I like to be sensitive to everyone. If you did not celebrate Christmas, you're like, that doesn't apply to me. Think about a vacation or your first day of school, anytime at your birthday, anytime in your life where you were excited to wake up. What I realized is that we can recreate that experience consciously and actively and intentionally every single day of our lives. And why would you not create the experience of waking up every single day excited? You know, in the Miracle Morning book, I give my personal bedtime affirmations that I read before bed to set that intention and set my mindset where I can't wait to wake up. And I decide, think about it this way. Usually your last thought before bed is your first thought in the morning. You go to bed going, oh man, I'm only getting 5 hours of sleep tonight. I'm going to be so exhausted in the morning. Well, as soon as the alarm clock goes off, you're like, oh God, here it goes. I'm exhausted. So you got to create your intentions before bed and wake up with those intentions so you create your own reality every day, making it the best day of your life with that morning.
Right. And we can go to your website and download the first two chapters for free and plus get a video from you, which would be great. But can you just let us in a little bit and share what that Miracle Morning looks like? Is this something that's very personal to everybody and different, or is this like a specific routine that we should all be doing?
It's a specific routine that you can customize. The book, I encourage you might as well try it as is, right? And then you can customize. And there's a whole chapter at the end, like here's how you customize it and make it fit your lifestyle and your goals and this and that. So the six practices of the Miracle Morning, the first thing is waking up earlier than you normally would. So just to close that loop,
right?
Most people wake up because they have to. And there's a very big difference between going, you know what? I want to dedicate time every morning to becoming the person that I need to be to create the levels of success and fulfillment that I really want in my life.
Love that.
So the miracle morning is simply starting by moving your alarm back 30 minutes. Could be an hour, whatever you want. And there's a whole chapter on the 6-minute miracle morning. So Pat, you might even visit that. Is how do you do the miracle morning in literally 6 minutes? And it's not some gimmick. I mean, literally, it's a hack where you get about 80% of the benefit in 1/10 of the time. So the miracle morning itself is made up of 6 practices that are known as the Life Savers. And Savers is an acronym, thanks to my brilliant wife, who one day when I was writing the book and frustrated going, how am I going to turn these 6 practices into some sort of functioning structure? She goes, why don't you use the thesaurus? And I'm like, great idea. So SAVERS is the acronym. The first S is for silence, prayer, meditation, primarily meditation, but you know, depending on your beliefs, prayer and meditation are kind of that element of silence, right?
I've been adding meditation into my daily routine now, and it's just already I could feel the difference.
Yo, it's a game changer, yeah. And I used to think it was kind of, you know, Eastern philosophy, kind of hokey, weird, you know.
Woo-woo, yeah.
Yeah, and then I read an article called Fortune 500 CEOs That Meditate. And I'm like, huh, and I read it, and they all swore by it. And I think his name is Ray Dalio, the number one hedge fund manager in the world. He's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm butchering his name, but he said that meditation is the number one factor in his success. He is a billionaire. He runs the most successful hedge fund in the world.
Yeah, Ray Dalio. Mm-hmm.
Ray Dalio. So silence, the A is for affirmations, right? Written are statements that articulate the highest vision you have for yourself, what you want, why you want it, who you need to be so you can embody that vision and live into the affirmation. The V is for visualization. And I can, if we have time, I can give techniques on why visualization doesn't work for most people and what you need to do differently to make it very effective and very action-oriented. The E is for exercise. And exercise in the morning is crucial. Now, I still go to the gym. I play basketball in the afternoon. But I do 10 minutes of exercise every morning as part of a miracle morning. And the thing is, you cannot replace the benefits of getting blood and oxygen to your brain, releasing endorphins that can benefit you all day long by waiting until the afternoon. If you do that, and this is true with every single one of the lifesavers, yeah, you can do them any time of the day, but you're missing out for until you do them, you're missing out on the ripple effect, the benefits that they provide for you starting first thing in the morning. The R is for reading. Obviously not like 50 Shades of Grey or Harry Potter, but you know, self-help. I mean, you can read those, but self-help books, right? And then the final S is for scribing. And again, I owe that to the thesaurus. My vocabulary is not that extensive. I didn't even know what that word meant. But scribing is essentially journaling or writing. And I don't know, have you discovered the 5-minute journal yet, Pat?
I have, yes.
Yeah, that's my favorite journal. It's funny. I have a Miracle Morning journal for sale on Amazon. And I tell everyone, yeah, if you want to get it, you can. But I recommend the 5-minute journal. I'm not affiliated with them, but I use it. I love it. I think it's better than the one that I created. So
that's cool.
So those are the lifesavers.
I love that. And that I feel gives us some concrete examples of things we could do going forward. I do recommend everybody get The Morning Miracle, your book. I'm going to pick it up myself and I'm going to practice this. I want next year to be amazing. And I completely see where you're coming from with all this. And I know you're not the only one who implements a morning routine in their life. And, man, so we're coming up to the end here. You had mentioned something before we finish up about visualization. Can you talk on that point really quick?
Absolutely. So visualization, the way that it's taught, and this is the same with affirmations, the way that they've been taught forever since I mean by gurus for in fact they're still taught this way. I was on, I don't want to say whose site, but I was on one of the most popular self-help, you know, gurus website the other day, and he was, I think it was actually affirmations. They're still teaching them the old way. So visualization, the way that most gurus or experts teach it, they tell you to visualize the end result, right? See yourself living in your dream house. See yourself, you know, in your dream job or making the income or whatever it is. Now, that is valuable, but it's only half of the equation, and I believe it's the least important half of the equation. So first, let me explain why that's important. Visualizing the end result, what that does for you, every goal, every dream, every desire that we have, imagine them as like little balls of energy floating around somewhere in our consciousness, right? In our brain, whatever you want to see it. And those little balls of energy are all trapped inside a coding that's like, that is made up of fear, insecurity, self-doubt, and our past. So all of our goals, dreams, and desires are all trapped by these layers of fear, insecurity, and self-doubt. And that prevents them from being manifested. So when you visualize them as real and you actually see yourself accomplishing it in the long run, the value in that is it breaks that ball of energy out of the fear that and the insecurity, that layer that it's trapped in, and it actually creates belief that it's possible because now you can see it. But the most important, so that's great, that's valuable, but most people visualize that and then they're like, all right, now I'm going to go back to doing what I've always done and getting what I've always got, but I feel good because I visualized, or even I even made a dream board that sits on my wall and doesn't do anything for me, right?
Right.
Here's where visualization becomes valuable, where it really becomes actionable. So if you visualize for 10 minutes a day or 20, it doesn't matter, 5 minutes, half the time, see the end result, or even a third of the time, a fourth of the time, see the end result. But then you got to bring your visualization back to the present day and see yourself taking action, doing what you need to do that is guaranteed to produce that result if you do it for long enough. So for example, writing The Miracle Morning was on my goals in 2009, and I failed. 2010, and I failed. 2011, and I failed. 2012, I finally realized, wait a minute, what if I take The Miracle Morning, the goal of writing the book, and I filter it through all six of the lifesavers? So I started visualizing people reading the book, and I started visualizing them passing it on to their friends, and these expressions on their face, like, wow, this is amazing. And that got me excited. Now the vision became real, and I wanted to make it real. But the most important part is I would visualize myself at my computer typing like a madman with a look on my face like, wow, this is going to be the best book ever. The thoughts are coming to me. I can't, you know, it's real. And I would see myself typing. The vision of the action that needed to be taken was so compelling that it got me to open my eyes, open my computer, and start typing. Whereas before, without the visualization and seeing myself doing it, there was too much fear, too much insecurity, too much self-doubt that was holding me back from my grandest vision for my goals and for my life.
Thank you for sharing that, because starting next year, I'm going to be working on my book, my book. Now, I do have a book that's an ebook on Amazon, but this is my book that I want to have like at Barnes & Noble. And nice. I've always visualized my kids and I going and me pointing out, you know, daddy's book on the bookshelf. And nice. That's what's helping me go forward. And I think implementing this this morning routine is going to help me moving forward next year. It's something I really need, because I wanted to start it this year, but I didn't have time, or I always put it aside for other things. And next year is going to be a great year for myself and the Smart Passive Income brand, hopefully for everybody else out there listening. So thank you so much, Hal, for sharing all that and just telling us your story. And oh my gosh, I'm just so happy you're here and able to help just everybody who you've touched. So thank you much.
No, thank you, man. The pleasure is mine. I really appreciate it.
Where can people find out more about you and what you have going on?
Well, as you mentioned, miraclemorning.com is the website where if anybody wants to get the first few chapters of the book, you'll get a 17-minute training video, a 60-minute training audio, all for free. That's at miraclemorning.com. If you're ready to buy the book, you're like, I don't need the free chapters. Just give me the book. Let me read the reviews. Go straight to amazon.com, and you can get The Miracle Morning there. And if you want to get in touch with me, go to halelrod.com, H-A-L-E-L-R-O-D. And that's where you can, you know, send me a personal message, and I try to respond to every single one.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And if you want to check out his media on that page too, you can see all of his TV appearances and all this amazing stuff. Hal, thank you so much for all you do, and we appreciate you. I look forward to connecting with you in the future and telling you how awesome this coming year has
been.
Yeah,
and make sure, shoot me your address, Pat. I will send you a personally autographed copy of The Miracle Morning.
Absolutely. Oh, awesome. You rock.
All right.
Thanks so much, Hal. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Take care.
Elrod. Oh my gosh, such an incredible story. And like I said in the introduction, I've been implementing The Miracle Morning now. I sort of recorded this episode a while back, and then I came back and did the intro. And since recording this episode, I've been implementing the Miracle Morning, and it's been going really, really well. So Hal, I know you're listening to this because you listen to the show. Thank you so much for all that you do and your generosity. I recently did a campaign to help schools in Ghana, and Hal was a big-time contributor to that campaign. So thank you, Hal. I wanted to do that publicly here, and everybody who contributed to that campaign, even a dollar. I mean, just thank you all so much. It's the fact that we hit that in just a week, that goal of 25,000 raised was just incredible. So thank you again so much for taking the time to listen. All the notes and all the resources and links mentioned in this particular episode. And if you want to go directly to Hal's site from mine, you can go to smartpassiveincome.com/session14. 140. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/session140. Hal's website will be there, although you can also go to halelrod.com. And it was pretty cool to finally figure out how he was named Yo Pal Hal, and it just kind of stuck with him all of his life, which is really cool. I also want to say thank you to lynda.com, which is a sponsor for this particular episode today. Lynda.com is an easy and affordable way to help you learn. You can instantly stream thousands of courses created by experts on business, software, web development, graphic design, and more. I mean, you probably use some sort of software in your business or in your daily life that you could be more efficient at. And lynda.com would be the place to go, especially because what's really cool is they are on top of all these new releases and updates that these different pieces of software come out with. And, you know, they always have training videos ready for you the moment, it seems like the moment that these new releases come out. So you can get on and be more efficient with these pieces of software that you're using. I also have used it for courses myself, from business development type courses and now sort of team management type stuff. I've also used it for stuff like how to use my DSLR camera much more efficiently as well. And these aren't just videos that are from YouTube, just homemade videos. These are studio quality videos and they are amazing. A lot of great tools to go along with them as well, like searchable transcripts, playlists, and certificates of completion and things like that. Yeah, you got to get on Lynda. It's one of the coolest websites I've discovered this past year and been a part of. If you go to lynda.com/SPI, you could try it for free. You get all access to all their courses 7 days for free. That's lynda.com/SPI. Go ahead and check it out. Thank you so much. Again, the show notes for this particular episode can be found at smartpassiveincome.com/session140. And thank you. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. And the next episode comes out on Christmas Day. I don't recommend you listen on Christmas Day. I mean, that's time for you and your family, but the show is still scheduled to go out that day, although it's always going to be available for you. And again, I'm talking about the biggest lessons I learned from this past year and how we're going to take those lessons and crush next year. So I'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Love you guys. I'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I highly recommend Problem Solvers, hosted by Jason Pfeiffer, who's been on the show a few times, actually. As you probably heard in the credits, both our shows are on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On Problem Solvers, Entrepreneur's editor-in-chief tells the stories of real founders that solved real problems in their businesses, helping listeners get through any obstacles in their own ventures. And each episode is really distinct and easy to follow, and they're bite-sized too, usually around 15 to 20 minutes. And Jason pulls each story out himself so you can avoid the same crippling problems. Matt and I were recently on the show in episode 302, and Jason recently hosted a great episode on whether anyone can be too quote-unquote curious for a traditional career. Listen to Problem Solvers right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.